Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of the Joint Ranch. Covenant provides a place where hip and knee patients come together for pre-surgery educational classes and then reconvene post-surgery for group therapy and rehabilitation. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight really this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest Coach Marcia Sharp.
Well, thank you so much for asking me, and you know how much I love and respect you and all the things that you've done in Lubbock throughout your lifetime, and I'm really honored to be able to spend some time with you today.
West Texas, this is your home. These are your roots. Tell us a little of your family background.
I was really blessed. I came from a great family. My folks moved around a little bit when I was young, mostly around West Texas and eastern New Mexico. And then I wound up in Tuya, which was their hometown. They were high school sweethearts there. I've told people from time to time that I graduated from high school with eight of my cousins out of a class of a little over 100. So we kind of ruled the community for a while. My grandfather had 11 brothers and sisters that all pretty much resided in that area. So a lot of us running around up there. And I think that made a great atmosphere for a kid to grow up. My grandparents were really, really involved in my younger years. And I always think that's such an amazing thing for kids to have, or grandparents, and that love them unconditionally and really want only good things for them.
Of course, Tuya is such a beautiful town. And growing up in a smaller town, I think, does something to our sense of community. Would you agree with that? We have a sense of community almost inbred into us.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of those folks that were my parents' age, we're beginning to lose them in Tuya now. And most of them, I have such great memories of things that they helped me with, taught me, maybe teachers I had, even folks who owned stores and businesses there in the community. And my family was very involved with the First Baptist Church there and went on mission trips with them every summer. And I think began to give me a sense of service, really understanding what community was all about, Tom. And I wouldn't take for the opportunities I had when I was growing up and the people who really invested in me as a young person. And it lets me know that that's such an important piece and something hopefully that we don't miss in the world today is the opportunity to have people outside the immediate family who are involved in kids' lives. I think it's a really important piece.
Of course, it carries over so beautifully, almost seamless into your profession, your calling as a coach. You went to college at
Wayland Baptist in Plainview. I was 25 miles from home, so yeah, I was pretty close. And you know, it's so interesting. I wasn't a great player, as you know, by the title of my book, Tall Enough to Coach. You know, I was short, and as they say, kind of had the white girl's disease. I couldn't run real fast and couldn't jump very high, but I loved the game. I loved the game. I actually went on a partial scholarship from the First Baptist Church in Tuya to Wayland Baptist University, and it was Wayland Baptist College at that time, but immediately was surrounded by a lot of great women's players who I had great respect for. Coach Harley Redden, who is still living and lives in Plainview still, he's 96 years old, and you know, we still talk every once in a while about different things, but all those folks that were such a fabric of that university became a part of me. I realized pretty quickly that when I first went, you'll maybe think that this would have been an okay fit for me because I kind of like to debate a little bit, but I went thinking I wanted to be a lawyer and came out as a basketball coach. So there you go. Yeah.
Graduating from Wayland, you went on then to coach high school.
That's correct. And I was really blessed. People sometimes have those horror stories of being a coach in a small town, you know, and the impact that people have on your world and how much parents want to be involved. I was in the perfect situation. I loved all the parents in that community, and I loved their kids, and I think we really developed something really special together there. We won a couple of district championships and did some pretty cool stuff, and I was there 6 years, and it was a really important part of my life, Tom. I'll tell you one of the things that I remember when I signed one of my last contracts at Tech. Financially, it got a little bit better as I went through it. They asked me a question about, did I think I deserved, you know, that contract? And I said, well, I think I paid my dues, because when I went to Lochney, I taught 3 English classes and a PE class and coached the freshman JV and varsity girls basketball and track teams and the boys tennis team, and was a cheerleading sponsor and the junior class sponsor. I said, I think I paid my dues to try to, you know, build my career.
Just for the sake of our listeners, what was your salary in those years?
I think I got a $300 bonus for coaching, and it was probably about $6,000, something like that, a year. Yeah. So I was on a shoestring. Fortunately, one of my kids' parents owned rent houses there, and so I got a good deal on a house, and that was about where it started.
You came from Lochney to Tech then, did you?
Yes, I did.
Tell them about what happened when you came to Tech as an assistant coach.
My salary got a little bit better at Lochney while I was there. They put a little bit more emphasis on women's athletics. But when I came to Tech as an assistant coach, I took a cut in salary from Lochney to Tech to be able to come to the collegiate level, because Title IX had just taken effect a few years before. It was not a great lucrative position, let's say. And when I came to Tech, I taught some physical education classes at the university, as well as coached as an assistant coach for that 1 year.
Title IX, that made such a contribution to sports.
Unbelievable. You know, I think people have talked so much about that century. The Civil Rights Act was certainly one of the biggest acts that was passed during that 100 years. But I think you have to put Title IX right beside it, because half our population was impacted by that bill. The fact that, you know, women then had the opportunities that men had had for a long time was a really, really important piece of that. I think it impacted athletics. Of course, salaries went up. Scholarships became available that weren't available before. More sports could be added or needed to be added to meet the requirements of Title IX from the athletic side. But, Tom, what people don't recognize is that all of a sudden, opportunities for careers for women really changed. There became as many people in law school and medical school, for instance, as many women as men. And those are the things that really became a big deal.
That title did so much to begin a trend for athletics, certainly, but it carried across the whole face of our American experience.
No question. It really changed the dynamics in such a big way for a lot of different people. And, you know, there were men impacted too, but I will tell you that at Texas Tech, Dr. Robert E. Walt and some other men probably did as much or more than anybody on that campus to help women with those opportunities. You know, it took a while. Because it was law didn't mean that people were really excited about adding that piece to it. But as we went through it and more folks understood the law a little bit better, and I've always said this, some of those men who had women, daughters that really wanted to do those, all of a sudden they wanted their daughters to have the same opportunities as their sons, and it really helped us grow in a really important way, I think, through the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
How wonderful. I'm so glad that you mentioned Dr. Ewald. He's one of the great unsung heroes of,
no question,
of our school, and good friend to both of us. And
absolutely.
A very special person. Marcia, we'll take a short break now and we'll continue with this wonderful conversation. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm delighted this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guests Coach Marcia Sharp. And Marcia, it's been a delight reminiscing with you. Came from Lochney to Tech and took a cut in salary to join as an assistant coach. And then the following year became the head coach.
That's correct, yeah. Donna Wick was the head coach when I came here. she had an opportunity to move into the business world, left tech in August after I had been hired the August before. Janine McCaney was the athletic director there. She deserves an incredible amount of recognition for all the things she did to start the women's athletic program at Tech, and certainly women's basketball was a big piece of that, and she was fabulous with me and fought a lot of wars for me to be able to do the things on the court that we were doing. But I remember she called me into her office that afternoon, and I was 29 years old, and she said, "What do you think about this?" And I told her that I would love that job more than anything. It was my dream job. Growing up in Tulia, my folks were tech people, and we just had a great background with the university. She was a smoker in those days, and she took a puff of her cigarette and smashed it out in her ashtray. I remember how firm that was. And she said, "I am going to take a chance on you." But she said, "Do not screw this up." And before she had a chance to reconsider, I bolted out the door and ran down the hall, taking that opportunity with me. And as I've said many times before, I spent a lot of years trying not to screw it up. But I'm just so grateful that she gave me that chance to do that. And it really obviously changed my world. And I just had such a great, great time doing the things I was able to do at Texas Tech.
And then, of course, you laid for your future teams a pattern of recruiting from the area around here. And what you did was to set up that beautiful community of sports that had a special focus on women's basketball.
Jody Conrad and I've talked about this a little bit, that we were really fortunate to get to coach at a really special time in women's basketball. It was just becoming a sport that had a little visibility, and it had become a player a little bit in the athletic departments. It was the women's sport that had a chance to really become as recognized as some of the men's sports did. We spent a lot of time trying to get it on television and working through some things to try to make sure we were good on our individual campuses, but as a whole, try to fight that battle a little bit for women's basketball nationwide to try to make it something special. Unfortunately for me, she was making it a little bit more special than me in the early years. What some people don't recognize is it was 10 years before we beat the University of Texas. I sat there for the first 10 years of my career, and I mean, I was just a wreck. We felt like we had to beat them in our own conference before we were going to be nationally recognized. And so I spent a lot of time chasing that program. We finally caught them, and, you know, as they say, the rest is history.
Before we came on air, we were talking about how beloved Jody was in Lubbock. She would come out and she would glare at the fans, and to our delight, of course, she got a response.
Yeah, we didn't disappoint her, did we? And when I went to Austin, it was the same thing backwards, but we actually were on a panel at the Final Four in Dallas this last spring, and we talked a little bit about that rivalry really, particularly in the state of Texas, I think, took women's basketball to a different level. You know, people followed it because they loved that rivalry and that back and forth and all the things that went on with it. A little bit like Pat Summitt and Gino Auriemma did on the national level for women's basketball, but just a really special thing for our fans. And I think both of us would tell you that our fans were a lot more involved with it than we were. But we rode that tide a little bit. And, you know, our crowds were always great when we played each other. And when we played each other in the conference tournament, it was a big deal. And it became a really, I think, important part of the game.
In addition to the university community, you had a following of the whole area which focused on the women's basketball
district. You know, we were, again, during that time, it was West Texas high school girls basketball was about as good as it got in the state of Texas. And one of our very first goals when I got the job was to make sure that we tried to keep as many of those kids at home as we could. And so it sort of became the thing for West Texas kids to come to Tech and play. Their folks could come watch them. We, you know, had good crowds. We were playing in a good league. And we tried to bring other teams in outside of our league that would be of interest to people. We took them on good trips as much as we could afford. And I think because of that, the entire West Texas area became fans of this program. We just coached so many of their kids. We used to say that there were caravans, you know, from Canyon, Texas, or Nazareth, or wherever it might be, that came down to watch their kids play. It's just like they became a piece of us. When you think about it, Tom, you know, you have to go 5 hours west to University of New Mexico and all the way to UTEP if you go south, all the way back to Fort Worth if you go east, and I don't even know how far you have to go if you go north, but to find a Division I school that has all the amenities that Texas Tech has and the fact that we have the law school and the medical school on our campus. All of those things in their own way add so much to the fabric of the university, and so many people are impacted by what we do at Texas Tech, either through the arts or athletics or medical or whatever it could be. We really have a really good offering, I think, for people across the board, and it's really made us such an important piece of all of West Texas, and I think Eastern New Mexico definitely has to be included in that.
And then there was the beautiful national championship.
Well, it doesn't get any better than that, right? I mean, there's not anything in your career that could top being able to say that you were the best in the country for 1993. And, of course, we were so blessed that Cheryl Swoops was a part of our program. She's gone on to do amazing things in women's basketball. But it's been a really special piece of our history and probably put us on a path that changed all of our lives forever and really impacted everything that we've done since then.
I remember so well when Tony and I went to this football stadium to welcome you back as national champions.
It was really so amazing, wasn't it? I have so many pictures of the 40,000 people being in there. And I just have to tell you that now somebody will say, you know, they had 6,000 people that welcomed them home from the title. And I just have to smile to myself. You haven't seen anything like what we had, but it was really a special time.
And that was such a glorious evening and such a wonderful homecoming. And many of the team were local on that team.
Yes. All of them but one were Texas kids. Some of them were from downstate a little bit more, but all of them were Texas except for Cynthia Klinger, and she was from Wyoming. You know, I think that added to it. They felt like that. They just thought that they had so much pride and that all of them were West Texas kids who came here to prove a point that we could really compete at that level. And
beat Texas,
I think it
and
was
the national championship.
Absolutely, all the same year. That was all good stuff. So they really felt that. And I think they felt like they were representing a lot of people, a lot of folks that they really cared about, and probably gave us a little bit of an extra push sometimes when we needed it. And I thought it was an important factor in our ability to win.
Marcia, we'll part from Jones Stadium for a moment in the glory of 1993 to take a brief break, and then we'll be back to continue this fascinating conversation. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center. More information on customized plans for joint replacement surgery is at covenanthealth.org/ortho. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. It's my joy this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest Coach Marcia Sharp. Talking with Chuck when we had our off-air conversation, he was wondering about when you sensed what a special person and talent Cheryl Swoops had.
It was obvious from the very first time I saw her play. Of course, she was at Brownfield, and I think I saw her when she was an eighth grader in some tournament, and knew at that point how great she was, and certainly led Brownfield to the state championships. But even that, you knew that she was a cut above everybody else that we were watching. Unfortunately for us, we weren't quite as good a program when she came out of high school as Texas was, and it was a place where all the great players were still trying to go, and so she went. She got down there and got homesick in about 4 or 5 days, came home, and went to South Plains College. In those days, you had to graduate from a junior college before you could be recruited again into a Division I program, particularly in your same conference. So she went and graduated, and as I've said many times, I knew I couldn't miss again. So we worked really hard during that recruiting time for those 2 years and convinced her that she could be the turning point for us, that we had a lot of great players to put around her and kids that were unselfish that she would love to play around. And so she came to Tech. It's always been amazing to me how much she's changed through the years. She became such a media person and loved, you know, media and would just charms them still to this very day when she's around them. We were getting ready to sign her. She told me she was coming, but she just kept saying, well, I don't think I want to sign my letter of intent today. Finally, I said, what are you waiting for? What's the problem? Because I knew we needed to fix it quick. She said, well, I just don't feel very good about getting in front of some media. Well, for us at that time, the media would have been maybe the three TV stations in Lubbock and the AJ. You know, that would have been the extent of the media. When we finally decided, talked her into it, and I told her, I said, hey, we'll meet on the highway between here and Leveland with the headlights of the car, and you can sign it, and we'll, you know, it'll be fine. But we finally did that at South Plains, and she was hiding behind a refrigerator in their team room when the media came in because she was afraid to go out and see them. Fast forward 2 years when we won the national championship, and there were probably 200 people in the media room when we came out from winning the title. She handled them like she was talking to her mom. It was amazing, the transformation that she made with that. And I just think it was so interesting how she could raise her level of play and her level of confidence in the way she represented Texas Tech to whatever level she needed to for us to have a chance to get everything out of that championship that we needed to.
Tell our listeners about how you traveled, how you changed, and how you came back.
Well, I think some people think this interesting when they think about athletics today, but when we went to Atlanta and came back, we were on a commercial flight. When we went to Washington, D.C. to see the president, President Clinton at that time, well, we flew commercial, and we didn't have enough money in our budget to spend the night in Washington, but we wanted to be able to say that they met the president and went to the White House. So when we got off the plane, we went into the restrooms at the airport at Dulles and changed clothes in the stalls to be presentable to go see the president, and went down to Capitol, and Larry Combest was there at that time, and we went into his offices and spent some time with him, and then went to the White House and hung around. The president had some little issue with Bosnia that day, and we were there with North Carolina's men, and we hung out in the Rose Garden for several hours before we finally got to see him, but saw the president, met him, took some pictures, did all the things that we did, walked back through the White House, and got in a bus, went back to the airport, and flew home commercially that night. So, you know, it was a little bit different time and place, but the experience was just the same. I mean, it was just the same as what they would experience today, but maybe just a little bit different way of getting there.
Chuck, and you and I were talking about how the game at all levels, basketball, has changed. I love the finesse that you brought to the game. It was like ballet, the movement, the intricate patterns that you ran were a delight to watch. It's a changed game, both for men and women.
No question. As kids have become more athletic, the focus of the games have changed, and certainly that's been impacted a great deal by the NBA. Kids love to watch it. First, the men players wanted to be like Michael Jordan and, you know, wanted to find some guy that they could go one-on-one with on the team and go to the rim and try to score, and a lot of that has become what the men's game became about probably 10 years ago. And because of that, then the trickle-down happens, and the athletes on the women's side have gotten much better. They're bigger, they're better. They maybe are not quite as skilled, but they are better athletes. And so they rely on their athletic talent.
I always remember you were encouraging the players and you would clap your hands together.
Clap my hands together when it's good. You know, they will all tell you that if you talk to them now individually, they say, well, my personal timeout came in the Texas game in 1998 when she wasn't happy with something, and I had my own personal timeout. So there were a few things on that side of it, too, or the stare. But most of the time, the players weren't involved with the stare. It was usually officials.
Oh, I can't remember that. In addition to being such an icon in your sport and such an inspiration for so many people and an inspiration for our community, you've done other things, and before we came on air, we were talking about how much health is dependent on exercise and the carryover from this, how important. Try to stay physically fit. What would you say to that?
Well, I think there's no question. You know, the older you get, the more you recognize that if you don't have your health, you don't have anything, and you have to take some steps and try to protect that as much as you can. Another reason I'm so grateful that women have had a chance to be in athletics and they probably understand how to take care of their bodies more because of that than maybe generations before them. And I've really been so pleased with how our players have gone through their lives and stayed physically active, and their children are in the same situation now, and their diets have become important to them. They understand how important all of that is, not just for them, but for their kids. And I think all those things have really been another reason why athletics was important for women, and it's really changed the dynamics of how people view their health, Tom, as they move forward.
It's been a glorious Sunday afternoon together, reflecting, remembering, going down memory lane. Again, on behalf of all of us, thank you for being such an inspiration.
Thank you so much for asking me. It's great to see you and great to spend some time.
Okay, thank you very much. And thank you, Chuck, for making this possible for our community. And thank you to the listeners. And I hope that you have been inspired as we went down memory lane with Coach Marcia Sharp this Sunday afternoon. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Medical Center, home of a full range of orthopedic services, including Joint Ranch. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.